have nothing wrong with that. But I would like you to have a conversation with that Eastman and also the Prime Minister.
I already did.
No, I want you to bring the Prime Minister too. Because I know Lynette
Eastman. How you can bring the Prime Minister somewhere?
I know the...
But how you can bring the Prime Minister somewhere, sir?
Invite the Prime Minister to the to VOB studios and invite Lynette Eastman. Because I know Lynette Eastman can hold her own among all those...
But I don't know that. What does Prime Minister Motley have to discuss with Lynette Eastman?
You go forward.
I think if anything, Prime Minister Motley has conversations to have with former Prime Minister Fernando Stewart. But I don't really know that the conversation. She had nothing to discuss with Lynette Eastman. What does Lynette Eastman have to discuss with her?
Because right now...
Lynette Eastman
is
not representing anybody.
Right now, the UPP think that a lot of the UPP candidates are...
Wait, what, 4% of the vote nationally?
I don't mind. They're
Dems get four times them.
Yeah, I think that the way Miss Motley is doing business right now, she's ill-informed.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever is her economic advisor, they say needs to go back to economic school. So I will advise Miss Motley to start looking at that again because she's taking this world down a rough path.
Right,
and you know who's going to suffer at the end? The poor people that she was trying to solve. And she was trying to help them in her political campaign.
Right.
People are going to suffer. Anyhow, you have a nice day, sir.
Thanks a lot for calling, sir. Don Brastocks, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You're very insulted to the Lynette.
This anti-America?
You might have a very personal bias or a very personal...
This anti-America?
It is completely unprofessional.
This anti-America? Good morning.
I have a name, but I wasn't Christian any anti-American. I don't know where that name comes from.
Can I call you by your name then, sir?
Why do you have to call me at all? I think there was some kind of...
But no, I am trying to exchange pleasantries. Because you call and you start with your attack. And I think the first thing you ought to do is say, good morning, Peter, how are you?
But it is true. But
and I would say, good morning, sir, how are you?
You know, you never held a balloon underwater. And as soon as you let the down, you let a balloon...
Well, Mr. Hughes always called. He's always called breathing fire. You can't call and be cordial like everybody else. How are you doing? I haven't spoken to you in several weeks. Well, not in this forum. How is everything? Did you enjoy the election? Did you have a good outcome?
It's a funny thing, but you had a guy called Tony Marshall that was there for 10 years. He said, listen, don't worry, no pleasantries. You call me and talk to me.
No, but I want to exchange pleasantries with you because you try to be unpleasant.
No, but...
I don't want to exchange pleasantries with everyone, but I want to exchange pleasantries with you specifically.
Okay, I am very fine. And yourself, man?
I'm blessed.
Is that an opinion or is that a fact? I do think that you're blessed in truth, but not in the way that you think, man. Come on, man. Opinions can be read in so many different ways, but it's good you think that way, Mr.
Yeah,
if you don't, no one else will, right? I agree with you. 100%.
Start your onslaught.
Lena is your friend. Lena is my friend.
I don't know she's my friend.
But she
is she still my friend?
Because people disagreed on me and you're unfriendly to each other.
We
disagree all
that.
The time, but I still call you a friend. You know, you're my friend, right?
But you're my friend. You've been to my house. I've never been to yours, but you've been to mine, so I'm assuming that we're friends. I've never been invited to Lynette's house.
Lynette lived too far away, Philip, man. Too far away.
Okay.
You know, that's behind God back. You know, different price.
I would welcome the opportunity to share a social drink with Lynette. I have no problem.
Maybe that is what should happen.
So you should facilitate it.
You know, well, I admire brave people, though. I mean, I have to admit that the people who went out on their own with the risk of losing a deposit are being completely, being chastised. And I don't even call it an embarrassment. Because if you go out there and you have a desire to be represent and you lose your deposit, to my mind, that is not something to be ashamed of.
No.
You know, I appreciate the
fact
that
I'm proud of Natalie.
I'm proud of them all.
I'm proud of Natalie.
And I hope Lottie get her job as well, too.
She got a job already.
She get a job?
Yeah, she working.
You know, I've completely forgotten about that past thing. I just want to refer to ladies and personality. You know what I mean? I think she has what it takes to be a star. Okay, so you're going to stop doing it then?
Because
right?
it carries the presumption that there's something bad about it. I mean, like,
correct.
You talk about Peter Rickham, political scientist. And, you know, no more bats at eyelid, but when you say Natalie, sex worker, there's a level of shame that is important. But I'm saying that I don't carry that judgment because what Natalie does is her business.
Exactly. But your comments do evoke judgment. That's the problem.
You find so? You feel that I judge Natalie?
Not you, but people.
Yeah.
But because you continue to mention the fact of her past, would suggest to those like myself that maybe
I don't think you judge her neither. Because my views and yours on this issue are probably the same.
Well, they are the same, but the truth is that...
You're an artist, she's a sex worker. It's just, you know, things that we
do. And anybody refers to me as a businessman, I feel extremely insulted. You know, you don't go to a dentist and say a dentist is a business person. You know, it doesn't work like
but
that.
The extent to which you are artist is debatable in some circles, because a lot of people will feel that the businessman is more the appropriate designation.
No, man, you.
But that is a slight against you personally. That's not right. But I don't agree. I call you an artist, but as I said, some people have said that that's not what you are.
No,
that you're a business person.
But what do they know? These people, many I've heard and seen and heard said many comments that are derogatory towards me.
Anti-American, that's not.
I've even met these people. Even know who they are. They may even one person saying the same thing over and over again under different names. They never really know. Right, but that's the nature of the game that you play when you live in Barbados, and somehow somebody attaches a name to you that gives you some kind of notoriety. You see, that's the problem.
Stick a pin.
And that makes you a target.
We have to take a break. Hold on a second. Just stay on the line. We'll come back to you shortly.
We have Ran Jilks on the line with the names of the independent senators. Ran, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning. Okay, a short while ago, we had Mr. Kevin John Boyce, the Reverend Michael Bruce and John Maxwell, Mr. Michael Austin Maynard, Ms. Toni Nicole Sherri-Ann Moore, the Honorable Lyndon Elon Nurse, and Ms. Monique Cheryl Tate, taking the oath of allegiance. There are six of the 7-11 independent senators that have been appointed by the Governor General of Barbados, Dame Sandra Mason. The seventh is, or will be, Ms. Althea Margot Wiggins. At present, she is out of the island, and she was not sworn. On her return to the island, she will be sworn in as a senator, an independent senator in the Senate of Barbados. Just to recap those seven names. Mr. Kevin John Boyce, the Reverend Michael Bruce St. John Maxwell, Mr. Christopher Austin Maynard, Ms. Toni Nicole Sherri-Ann Moore, the Honorable Lyndon Elon Nurse, Ms. Monique Cheryl Tate, and Ms. Althea Margot Wiggins, the independent senators in the 2018 sitting, the next sitting of the Senate. Ryan Jiltz, Starcom Network News.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Welcome back to Down to Brass Talks. Yeah, Mr. Anti America, sorry, let's continue with your substantive submission. Feel free.
Yeah, okay. Well, just before you go back there, Monique Tate was not a political appointee in the past, sitting on a board as a chairman of a board. I mean, I sometimes wonder about these
but thing too, Althea Wiggins Rock. Althea Wiggins Rock used to be on the CBC board and is now Deputy High Commissioner to the United Kingdom.
Well, I mean, look at the same Tony Marshall that was appointed as an independent about 3-4 years ago, then all of a sudden no longer is an independent or head of the Senate, but moves on to a political appointment overseas.
But he's an independent political appointee overseas.
Oh, okay. Man, you see, why do you like to defend the status quo? Come
on. I ain't defending nothing.
Well, okay.
But no, but I am. Dennis reminded me that I can't say anything negative about the nominations of the Governor General because they are beyond question. So I can't question a judge and I can't question the Governor General, who was also a judge.
There is
you can if you want to, but I can't.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, because you are a moderator, is that the reason?
Something so.
I
don't have a lot of time for the whole idea of an independent Senate pick, period. Because my thing is, I don't really understand what role the Senate serves, and I don't understand what role these independent senators, so-called independent senators, serve.
How do you qualify to be independent? They had a very nice guy that died about 3 years ago. He was brought in from St. Lucia to be the chief town planner on Tonga Country. I forgot what his name is. How do you forget his name? One of the most independent, yes, Lenny St. Hill, one of the most independent minds, and you mean that man had a remarkable intellect. And he never got the pick. Mm-hmm. He would have been the best possible choice for independent, but nope, you know, boy, he's too good. That's the kind of, you know.
I like Tony Moore, though.
Tony Moore.
Yeah. I like Tony Moore's appointment, and I like Tony Moore as well.
I don't know him, you know. But anyhow, he writes in the paper or something.
She.
Is that she?
The Barbados Workers Union General Secretary.
That's a good
pick because I think she represents a substantial section of the population.
That's right.
And I also like how she has grown and evolved as a union leader. I was very impressed with her at the last hearing of the social partnership, the one that was televised. I know you weren't, but I was.
You know me. You know the context.
Well, you said that you weren't, and I told you that I was impressed with her then, and I certainly want to take this opportunity to congratulate her. I think that she will have a long and productive stint in the independent Senate.
Well, I hope so.
For as long as the Senate is
Labour
in there.
And, I don't think the parties have done very well to represent that part of the name that they're supposed to be, you know, seeking after the interest of.
But
anyhow,
you had called to berate me, though. So when you're ready, you can start.
No, it's just that we have a constitutional majority now. Much more than that. You got a one-party state. Constitutional majority. There is nothing that is impossible to make happen by law in Barbados. What, the Constitution is the ultimate law. So if you decide no, let me say that the oath of office is offensive, as I do. I think it's a very offensive piece of prose. Whereas as a national pledge, I go out there and I have to pledge allegiance to my flag and my country, Barbados, and to its, whatever its flag and stuff, and to uphold its honor and thing. I feel that all the people who take office should be saying the same pledge as me. But then going to the office and they pledge to a woman in England. And they go further than that. The most offensive part is that they pledge to keep secrets from me. Now, you're saying somebody can come and say, hey, but they're supposed to have official secrets because they can't know everything. Listen, my man, you hold secrets from the consumer base. You don't hold secrets from shareholders. People who vote for an administration are shareholders. You don't hold secrets from them. But you got this author office that says it's okay for me to hold a secret. Anything that comes to my desk as a cabinet minister will not be shared with anyone because that's between me and the Queen's representative. It's a lot of crap.
I agree with you. Freedom of information requires that all of that changes. Another thing about the oath that needs changing is the idea of swearing an allegiance to the Queen, her heirs and successors. All that's foolishness too.
I mean, it's understood that because you are a constitutional, you're part of a monarchy.
But then Jamaica is too, and Jamaica doesn't swear an oath. They swear an oath to Jamaica.
The people, they swear
and we need that. So I agree with you that we need to look at constitutional change that would remove that reference about, because I have a problem with the fact that these people are paid to collect information to keep it from me.
I keep it from you.
Right. I mean, I should be able to understand what's going on in cabinet, and I think you have the idea of a post-cabinet press greeting. Tell me what went on.
Anything that the Queen must know, I must know too. So that's the easiest change to make. That's the first one.
And somebody else is agreeing with you, Mr. Anti-America, with reference to the Queen, just so you know.
Well, come on, I think they normally agree, but some people refuse to accept it, like yourself. But here's the thing. The second and easiest change to make is the one that Sir Leroy made.
Sir Roy,
public servant salaries cannot be adjusted downwards. That is a constitutional amendment. It can be undone. We got a constitutional majority. No, a government reserve and administration reserves the right of having the freedom to adjust public servant salaries up or down. As the woman said, 10% off the top, 2% from the bottom. Perfect.
You think that's a good thing, though?
Yes, it is, because don't want to help people. Nobody wants to go home. You need to send home people. They got consumers, ex-consumers, because they can't afford to buy nothing. So the whole environment shrinks. Look, everybody in Barbados, bar maybe one or two in businesses, rely on the government for support in one way or the other. Government business, government promotion, people do that. In one way, the government is connected with our lives in every which way. Not because you all pay taxes, but because their support is what keeps a lot of people alive. So what if they employ extra people? I really don't care. I'm just concerned with the cost of government, and that could be fixed with a constitutional amendment. Ain't no problem with that. If government employs fat, well, so be it. So be eventually fat, and if you could train them properly, could probably become self-sustaining eventually, and they could go off on their own. But there's nothing wrong with government, to my mind, employing 33% of the people. If the cost is too high, adjust the cost downwards. And that could easily be done by another change in the Constitution. You have a government now who can make these changes without any problem. So you have to hold them to the fire to make sure those changes are made. Don't send home nobody. Somebody get there and say, send home 1,500 people. They're foolish. Yeah. And then do what? What are they going to do? 1,500 mouths to feed, and they can't go in the shops and buy no more. All of a sudden, you got bigger problems. And that's supposed to be an economic solution. Cut the cost of government by cut the salaries, and everybody stays employed. It is a simple thing, and it can be done with a constitutional change. So two simple changes. One, the oath, which is a cosmetic change, but I think it's important for people like Peter Wicken and myself. And two, the ability to change public servant salaries downwards because it can be done with a constitutional change. And that's all, Peter. Yeah, I tell women, no, it can be done. It can be done.
All right.
It can be done.
Just a couple of clarifications. Monique Tate is the daughter of Bradford Tate. Someone is just telling me that John Boyce Jr. The John Boyce that has been nominated is John Boyce Jr. So he's now a senator. Not a senator has just entered the room, and this is Mr. Corey Lane. He unfortunately didn't make the cut this time around.
but that would have been a nice choice too.
Yeah, I think so. I think it would have been an excellent choice. The other point though, Anti-America, is that I don't know if we can assume that because Dr. Jacobs, Carol Jacobs, who was recently in the Senate as an independent senator, was chosen by the former governor general, and she was as an independent senator while she was married to a Dem for many years. And before she was a Dem, she was Jamaican. So,
yeah, but that is true.
It's an assumption that I think you have to be careful with, because some of us were very from our given, sorry?
He was never given an official appointment under a party banner. It never really happened.
Who's that?
John Boyce Jr. I don't think he was given sat on any board.
Unlike
Monique Tate, no, who was actually chairman of a board as a political appointee. So it was pretty obvious in her case that she had an attachment. But John Boyce Jr., well, you can't say much about him. Mm. And Carol Jacobs also, Dr. Carol Jacobs, I don't think you can say much about her when it comes to... Because my husband and wife is always... I know of a Trinidadian couple where the husband is a Christian and the wife is Hindu. So there's really no real, guarantee that because people are married...
I know a Beja family where the husband is an atheist and the wife is a believer.
Oh, dear. All right. It's nice to know you, man. It is good to know you.
Yeah. All right. So thanks a lot for calling. We had a relatively cordial conversation today, and I think that is a good thing. So I look forward to hearing from you again. Someone is asking me to clear up if you can be considered a media practitioner while you're moderating Brass Talks. I presume you're speaking about me. I think that I defer to Dennis in that regard, because I'm never really sure whether I am a media practitioner, whether I am a journalist. I don't know where I am in the scheme of things. I do not belong to the Association of Journalists, however.
I answered that question by telling the person the first time you asked that you're a pollster and a political scientist who hosts a call-in program. Why do you want to be designated a media practitioner? What is that anyway? Media practitioner? I am not a media practitioner. I'm a broadcaster. Yeah. Who are you?
Fair enough. Interesting question. Dr. Brastocks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Wickham. How are you?
I'm good, sir. And yourself?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
I would like just to say a few things now on the last election. I do believe that the last election, 30-0, I would have, if you could remember, mentioned that would have been the outcome of that election since October last year. And that is because the former administration, as all of us as Barbadians would have recognized, that we would have been obsolete as far as their work of concern. We did not exist. And based on what is coming out now of their performance, I would have heard Mark speaking with you a little while ago about the audits and so that needs to be taken and what Barbadians looking forward to. I can well recall that across the length from this country during the campaign, wherever you go, Barbadians were very agitated, especially when they would have heard about certain things that would have been done and so on, and how people, individuals were operating and opportunities that were given to some because of positions, status, and so on, and others neglected, that the Barbadian people do believe and strongly request that something be done for them.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that we have reached a state in Barbados now where we have to look at these things and take them seriously, especially when you look at what you are hearing coming out now over the past few days since the Barbados Labour Party would have taken over the governance of this country. I am one of the people who believes strongly that somebody should be held accountable for the rat that this country is in. I mean, this election that gone, I would say this would be my last real active election.
Why you say so?
I don't believe if I had an election tomorrow that I would have been as active as I was in this last one.
But you don't know what can happen next year? You planning to dead soon?
No, I think that I don't know about my age, because,
Shaka was second win.
People that would have told me I should raise 10 if anything, my age is my, you don't sound so. Mm-hmm. But I seriously believe that we need to look at our constitution. and make some serious amendments to it to curb these things that would have happened under this administration. Reading what the Attorney General has said this morning in the paper about going after them, holding people accountable and things like this, that's one thing. But I'm saying my feeling, and especially the young people of this country, they would say that the young people do not listen. I am saying I was one, and you know I held many conversations with you on the radio, you know where it stands about the young people. The messages that were sent to the young people is what probably have a lot of them confused. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that they were paying attention to, that you and I weren't paying attention to, that manifests itself to them today. I feel that we need to set the train to correct some of these things, that they would see things the way they should be, whereby they can't see you against me or I against you, or see a divide in the country as two different areas, one for the rich, one for the poor, but see all of us as barbarians.
Okay.
And we need to correct this.
And I don't disagree with you, sir. I think that you have a point. And as I said earlier in the program, I appreciate that there is a school of thought with which I don't necessarily identify, that is expecting a pound of flesh. There have been enough people responding on the chat this morning via WhatsApp and sending emails and whatnot, making it clear that they believe that there needs to be a prosecution or two that will make an example out of someone. And I am thoroughly convinced, sir, that what you're saying is consistent with public opinion. I was just saying to me, you know, for me personally, I am of the New Testament variety. Someone says, moderator, I believe you asked the question, do we want to go down the road of prosecuting politicians? This is in reference to talk about wrongdoings by members of the previous government. If it is discovered by evidence that any member of the political party was found to have committed a financial crime whilst in office and it is brought to justice, would this be political or criminal? And I think that the point is reasonable. That it certainly would be criminal if there is injustice, if there is demonstrated injustice, that it would be criminal, a criminal matter. My challenge, however, is that I find that these things are invariably not straightforward, and invariably it comes down to a question of whether or not the matter, you can check and you can find out, especially where people are making accusations with regard to theft, which is a very difficult thing to prove. Mr. Wiggins reminds me that, sorry to say in this regard, Mr. Wiggins reminds me, I'm trying to find the message that he sent. He reminds me that the son of O'Halloran actually returned $3 or $4 million to the Trinidad and Tobago government in the wake of the O'Halloran investigation. If I remember correctly, it was not the son of O'Halloran, it was the estate of O'Halloran, and it was an ex gratia payment. A similar ex gratia payment was remade with respect to the medical benefit scheme in Antigua and Barbuda. But my understanding is that the sum of $3 or $4 million, and I believe it was of the TT variety, and the kind of money that was made as an ex gratia payment from the gentleman at the root of the medical benefit scheme in Antigua, was nothing compared to the amount of money that they were seeking. And in the case of Antigua, the Prime Minister made a point that the amount of money that they had spent trying to find this money and the amount of money that was supposed to be outstanding was nothing compared to the ex gratia payment that they received. And he went in the route of a commission of inquiry because he said it was a far more financially prudent way of trying to get answers for people. You recall when Nelson Mandela became president of South Africa, and Nelson Mandela, sir, is my point of reference in most things in life. Huh? I think he's my guru and the person to whom I look for inspiration. You would recall that after the atrocities of their South African apartheid program, he became powerful. He set up a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And what the Truth and Reconciliation Commission said, if you come, you tell us your truth, you'll be absolved. A lot of people did some bad things, and they were absolved. And his thing was that he felt it was important for the nation's healing to have that process, and it was like a catharsis. You know, you go through, you identify, you come clean, you weep, and you're given your absolution, as opposed to having a witch hunt where he was going looking to lock up people. Think about that one for a minute.
Mr. Mm-hmm. I may agree with you to a certain extent, but I am saying that the state Barbados is in today, given what when this past administration came into government in 2008, where Barbados was and where it is today, some person or persons has to be held accountable for what is going on in this country today. That's all I would say at this point in time, Mr. Lickle.
All right, sir. Fair enough. You know, I think your point is worthy of consideration, and I appreciate your saying it. But at the same time, you know, it's just that I hold a slightly different view. Don DeBrastatz, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes. Hey, how are you doing, sir? Good to hear you.
I just want, before I get myself started, I just want to say something. The callers to this program need to respect the moderator and the producer, and indeed the listeners, by not clearing the throat and coughing and all kind of thing on the ear. If you want to clear a truck, move the phone away. Or if you can't move the phone away in time, then you do it, say excuse. I think that'd be better. That's better manners than to cough in the listener's ear, cough in the moderator's ear, and cough in the producer's ear before acknowledging that he has done so by saying excuse. I
no problem. But what is the contribution to the, sir?
Yeah, the contribution is this. First, there's two little contributions they want to make. First, I would like the all to start talking about Natalie, whether she was a farmer or the president's sex worker, and refer to the lady as Miss Holder.
Miss Harewood.
Miss Harewood, right. Mm-hmm. Or Natalie. And start talking about the sex thing. I keep telling y'all that the person that ran against the man in France was a prostitute. And the man in Italy, he spent some time in prison for dealing with prostitutes.
Who is this? Mr. Bunga Bunga?
Berlusconi.
I don't know. Can we say Bunga Bunga on the air, Dennis? Yes, you can, apparently.
Berlusconi. Yeah,
the
right?
Bunga Bunga man, that's Dennis. That's right, Berlusconi.
Right.
Yeah.
So please, stop referring to the lady as former or present, whatever. And you see it, and I see it, and other people has agreed with us that she should be given a job. And you say she got a job. I'll let you to tell me what job she get.
I saw, I'm one of her Facebook fans, and she presented a picture of herself entitled Workflow. So I think she's working in a store somewhere.
Okay.
I personally feel that there's a role for Natalie in representational politics, probably not at the level of an MP, but certainly there's a role for her in terms of representing people in the city. And that's my view, and I think I've shared that with you privately as well.
Whatever job she gets, she's deserving of a job. She has a lot of guts. And a lot of tenacity.
No, and I agree. And please, sir, don't think for 1 minute that anytime I make reference to her profession, that it is done with any level of judgment. Because you know full well that I don't judge Natalie.
Well,
I admire her. And I have always said there's nothing other than the fact that I admire her. I admire what she did. And I think that she should be rewarded for it.
Yeah, I think so too. The thing is, I will let you all start referring to her as past or present. And just call him
but you know, sir, that sex excites people.
People
are excited by her profession because sex generally excites people. I'm saying that, and Dennis is smiling all over his face. We love to talk about sex.
Dennis might be agreeing with you when you say that sex excites people. So he might.
Are you laughing too, sir? Obviously, exciting you.
And I agree with you too.
Right, so that's a problem.
But we don't need to refer to the lady as that.
But that's why every time someone mentions a name, the sex comes up because it's sexy.
Let us respect the lady, man, Peter.
But you're not disrespectful.
Let us respect the lady. Anyway, let me go on. Let me make my next point, and then I can be gone. You are an analyst and a pollster, and you believe the polls when the polls say that
they're gonna lose all 30 seats.
A particular party is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
You believe the polls. Why don't you believe the people, when the majority of people in this country say that somebody should go to jail? And you, Peter, trying all the best way you can to throw cold water on people's comments when they talk about people having to go to jail or should be sent to prison because there's a difference between a jail and a prison. And in this case, we got a prison. We ain't got no jail, we got a prison. And you always try to throw cold water on people's comments. Then they say that somebody should be sent.
But is this not the forum where we're supposed to have alternative expression?
Of course.
Right, and that's all I'm doing. I'm giving the alternative. David always talks about the fact that we need alternative views, and that's the alternative
view.
I'm not a locking up person.
I agree that they should have alternative expression. Mm-hmm. But I also agree that your alternative expression should be fear. How can you send a man to
Brains,
prison?
Listen,
wait a minute, man. Wait, let me make my point. How can you send a man to prison for 8 months for stealing a bottle of Estella that costs $11 and people carry millions of dollars and nothing happened to them? Mm-hmm. You answer
it's
that.
Not fair.